Our first reading, Genesis 22, 1-19. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Our gospel reading is chapter 9 of Matthew, verses 1-8. And after getting into a boat, Jesus crossed the sea and came to his own town. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Then some of the scribes said to themselves, This man is blaspheming. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, Stand up, take up your bed, and go to your home. And he stood up and went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to human beings. Our reflections on this reading. Our first reading for today is the well-known story of the sacrifice of Isaac, or what the Jews more accurately call the Akedah in Hebrew, or binding of Isaac. Isaac is bound by his father Abraham in preparation for sacrifice, but that's as far as it goes. We tend to think of this story as a testimony to the great faith and trust of Abraham, and rightly so. In the preceding stories about him, Abraham had not done all that well in this area, turning out to be quite untrusting when the going got tough. But here, finally, he obeys God's command to do the toughest thing of all, apparently without wavering. However, this is also a story about God, and, let's face it, a pretty shocking one at that. So shocking, in fact, that the great German philosopher Immanuel Kant proclaimed that there are certain cases in which man can be convinced that it cannot be God whose voice he thinks he hears. When the voice commands him to do what is opposed to the moral law, though the phenomenon seems to him ever so majestic and surpassing the whole of nature, he must count it a deception. Kant was a studious reader of the Bible, and his reaction is a measure of just how shocking he found this story. So why is this portrait of God in the Bible? Readers have puzzled over this, but perhaps one reason is that it provides a powerful contrast to the portraits of God in the preceding stories about Abraham. In these, God is cast as the long-suffering, patient divinity, committed unconditionally to Abraham despite his failings, putting up with Sarah's laughter, and generally sorting out the strife that human beings get themselves into. In many ways, isn't this the idea of God that we also like to entertain? Someone unfailingly reliable, forgiving to a fault, friendly and ever helpful. With the reader happily comfortable with this notion of the divinity, the Bible unexpectedly offers a story that seems to run clean counter to such cherished ideas of God. Perhaps, therefore, the question this story raises for you and me as readers is, will we, like Abraham, trust God in an experience that clashes brutally with our expectations of how God should act? If we only associate God with a certain range of experiences or expectations, for example, what we regard as good and affirming ones, then in a sense we've taken control of God, putting God in a box of our own making. This story shocks us into rethinking our accepted notions of God and challenges us with a key component of our faith, that God is wholly other and mysterious. And yet, if we stay with this wholly other and mysterious God, this God will look after us. Every now and then, the Bible takes us to the brink in terms of how we think about God and challenges our thoughts and the decisions we make. I'm sure God would have respected the honest decision of Kant, even though, of course, it is not the decision of the Israelite author of Genesis 22. Our gospel passage invites us to rethink our notions of God too, but in a more indirect and subtle way. And it lies in Jesus' question to those who complain about his healing of a cripple. He asks, which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk? There's more to this question than initially meets the eye. From one point of view, it is of course much easier to say that your sins are forgiven. After all, no one can prove you are a fake because the person forgiven does not change before your eyes. But if you say, stand up and walk, and the person doesn't, then your reputation as a healer is in deep trouble. But this point of view, the point of view of the onlookers in the parrot story, is one that is unenlightened by faith. And Jesus points to the difference when he next says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and then tells the crippled man, get up and go home. We human beings know too well that to forgive is difficult, particularly when it is a serious issue. Only God can completely wipe away the crippling impact of our sins. But this requires faith in God and faith in His Son, Jesus. A faith that welcomes them into our inmost being to heal our whole person, inside and outside. But so often, I think we prefer to have a God who will fix up the outside. That is, those areas of our life that we designate as appropriate for God to work on. The rest, the real areas of our life in need of healing, we try to keep God away from. Or perhaps we kid ourselves into thinking there's nothing wrong there. Do we too often see God something like a cleaner or a plumber? Welcome to come in and tidy up the place, but please don't touch the valuables. Probably an insult to cleaners and plumbers, and certainly an insult to God.